The Phosphenes. Generalities on the course of Phosphenism. Phosphenism is a summary of all the methods of personal development, mystical development, all initiatory techniques, but enlightened by the study and the method of the Phosphenes. The Phosphenes constitute a wonderful method of analysis of the functioning of the brain. It requires very simple equipment. Also, with this method, one can very easily monitor the effect of a medicine, of a diet, of a posture, of a gymnastics exercise, of a meditation, or of a disease on the brain. This allows to design very precise traditional exercises. In the past, certain persons claimed to have obtained extraordinary inner results with these exercises. On the other hand, certain persons have practiced these exercises all their life and have obtained no results apart from a few physical benefits. Definition and description of the post-phosphine. By studying the phosphenes, one can find out the exact rhythm that allows to obtain the expected inner and spiritual effect every time. One can also judge the optimal duration of each exercise and its frequency. It becomes easy to eliminate the elements within these exercises which apparently seem to be active, but which in reality have absolutely no effect when one controls the action on the brain with the phosphenes. Phosphenic mixing, or the blending of a thought with the phosphene, the basis of our method. The phosphenes constitute what I have called in my book The Initiation of Pietro, the umbilical cord that connects us to the other world. We will see that this is related to traditions like the mysteries of Eleusis, for example. The phosphine is actually a subtle substance, an intermediary between thought, that the theosophists call thought forms, and matter. So, if you add the phosphenes to any traditional exercise or modern exercise of personal development, you will multiply their effect in considerable proportions on the intellectual level, memory, attention, intelligence, the spirit of initiative, but you will also develop clairvoyance and what all the initiatory rites are supposed to provide to the adepts since the dawn of time. Be careful. Only proceed according to the guidelines we provide. As a summary, phosphenism is at the same time a method for analyzing the effects of each exercise and a way to multiply their effects in an extraordinary fashion by being added to them. Examples of its use in education. Testimonies of its activity through individual and group tests. In this course, we will first deal with generalities. We will then take a closer look at the study of religions and then move on to educational applications. First, let us provide an answer to two common questions. What are the results that can be obtained with phosphenic mixing applied to education? Has there been any precise experiments on the subject? Here are the results. First, a few individual results, and then collective tests. On the individual level first, we have met, for example, a child that was very weak in arithmetics and who became normal within 15 days. We worked with three children who always had F in spelling. 3 months later, they had B's and A's. The action on the character. In Chicoutimi, Quebec, Canada, there was a child of 12 years of age that used to fight at all recesses. He used to insult his teachers and was sent to see the headmaster many times because of that. His only hobby was breaking windows and tearing plants from the neighbors' gardens. He had started a small band of hooligans. The school psychologist had already tried several methods with him without success. After reading my books on phosphenism, he applied the method for 3 weeks with this boy, without me meeting him personally. After 3 weeks, it was the boy himself who stopped his former associates to do naughty things. He did not fight in recesses anymore. He was borrowing books from the library instead of hanging around in the street. His grades had jumped from D's to B's. We could provide many such examples. In an absolutely general manner, any child who starts to learn their lessons with this method every day obtains better grades from the first month onwards. Fundamentally, on an educational level, phosphinism is a method for learning lessons. Let us now talk about the collective tests which have been performed, mainly in Portugal, by Professor Cruz. First, his attention tests have confirmed what I say in my books. After a single session of phosphenic mixing, the attention of children is stronger, and one only needs to repeat the sessions daily for a few weeks to obtain an improvement of attention that persists between the sessions. We have also conducted tests with the school psychologist of Chicoutimi, mainly the test of the drawing. You know that retarded children draw smaller drawings and with less details than normal children. This test has been performed on thousands of cases by my master in child psychiatry when I was an extern of the hospitals of Paris, Dr. Fay. He mentions this in his book on child psychiatry. The theme provided to the children is: a woman is having a walk and it rains. The children are given 10 minutes to draw what this phrase suggests to them. Then, according to the size of the drawing and the quantity of its details, one can find out exactly the mental age of the subject. In Chicoutimi, we have worked with a class and asked them to perform this drawing a first time. Then, we have asked one half of the class to focus on the lamp to produce the phosphine when the other half of the class did not do the phosphine. After, we asked all the children to put their hands in front of their eyes during 3 minutes and then to draw again the required theme. The entire class was thus doing the same exercise again, with the only difference that one half of the class had had the phosphine. The results were striking. The first half of the class, which had done the phosphine, performed larger drawings and with more details, apart from one or two children. But no drawing was worse than the first time. The other half of the class, the one which hadn't done the phosphine, had realized smaller drawings and with less details, apart from one or two children. But no drawing was better than the first time. The results of the test spoke for themselves. We have repeated this test in the Ivory Coast, where the government had invited me to perform experiments in classes. It has given the same result. Moreover, after I left, and that is important, because it proves that it is not my personality which influenced the test, the following experiment was performed in a school near Abidjan. Three classes of the same level were taking the same exam. In one of the classes, revisions were performed with phosphinism. In the two other classes, it wasn't the case. 26 out of the 30 children who had revised with phosphinism were admitted. In the other two classes, only 12 and 13 pupils passed out of 30. The test of the drawing was then performed again in a different form with butterflies and color crayon in Antibes, France. Again, the result was extremely interesting. After the phosphine, all the drawings were much larger and with a much bigger variety of colors. Naturally, a single phosphine is not enough to become permanently more intelligent. If children, during the period of formation of their brain, learn every day their lessons with phosphinism and also use it as an help to perform homeworks, they will become more intelligent permanently, as it is proven by the study of children that have spontaneously practiced mixing unknowingly while they were very young and who have become what we call geniuses. I believe that many geniuses are simply children who in the beginning were normal but who had conditions of life that have enabled them to follow the thread of their instinct and to practice phosphenic mixing spontaneously. The birth of the method. It is in 1964 that I had, for the first time in September, the idea to check what would happen when one mixes a thought with the phosphine. But it is in 1959 that I made my first discovery on the phosphenic phenomenon, a phenomenon that was unknown until then and that we will study during the course on head sways. Since 1964, I have performed trials first on myself, then on a few friends, and then in schools, where I realized that the results were always excellent. What is the phosphine? What is phosphenic mixing? I consider that the only definition that is correct of the phosphine is any subjective sensation of light. There are different categories of phosphines. For example, we have the phosphines produced by electrical currents with which one stimulates the posterior hump of the occipital lobe that is called cuneus. The subject then perceives shapeless phosphines. If one stimulates the circular region around the cuneus, the subject perceives phosphines in the shape of broken lines or geometrical shapes. If one stimulates the third concentric zone, the zone of visions of half sleep that are called hypnagogic, one realizes that these visions are precise and brief, and they have no connection with the psyche. Remember this point, as we will refer to it again. There is another category of phosphines that can be produced electrically. They are produced by placing electrodes on the temples. The electrical current goes through the crossing that is called the chiasma of the optical nerves. The subject perceives small, misty phosphines, and it is unpleasant. This has almost no connection with the phosphines that we use. There are also the phosphines produced by hallucinogenics. It is very curious. The colors provoked by these toxic substances have effects which are exactly symmetrical of the effects we obtain with phosphenic mixing, as we shall see when we study the effects of phosphenic mixing. One must remember that phosphenic mixing has nothing to do with hallucinogenic drugs that nevertheless also produce phosphines, but which effects are opposite. If you bang your head accidentally, you will perceive colors, phosphines. They are called the phosphines by compression. Naturally, we do not use phosphines by compression. Nevertheless, there are methods where it is advised to press on the side of the eye to make phosphines appear by compression. As we are using extensively the method of the phosphines, this technique would be dangerous because one would end up producing a moving of the crystalline lens. Also, the phosphines obtained this way are not very beautiful. On the other hand, we use the category of phosphines that eye doctors call post-images or images of retinal persistency. But I chose not to use the word post-images. First, because we talk a lot about different mental images. It would be very confusing. Then, the word phosphine is euphonic. It reminds of Phoebus. It is the same root, sun. Phosphenic mixing consists in mixing a thought with the phosphine. Necessary equipment. Here are practical guidelines to follow the rest of the course, as it is essential that you practice the experiments at the same time. You should purchase a quality light therapy lamp. This lamp can be placed at a distance of about 50 centimeters to 1 meter from you. Focus on this lamp during roughly 30 seconds, then switch it off and remain in the dark. You can use an eye patch to place over your eyes to create optimal darkness conditions. As you can see, the equipment needed is very simple. Switch your lamp on now. You can see that the color blue is starting to appear. When the lamp is fully blue, you can switch it off. Focus now on the colors that appear. The duration of the phosphine is approximately 3 minutes. Open your eyes again. What colors did you see? In the beginning, the first phase is usually yellow, surrounded by a red frame. But after a few days of practice, it will usually be a greenish yellow, surrounded by a red edge. The color red takes more and more space in the phosphine by sudden and irregular bursts. After about a minute and a half, the phosphine will be entirely red and smaller. The color red will be less agitated than the first color and will go on diminishing and darkening for another minute and a half. Then it will turn blue, again by sudden bursts. Usually it is a blue ring around red first, and then it goes from blue to black. Once you have reached this phase, focus your attention. Around the phosphine, a grey cloud is developing, pale, with uneven edges, and much more stable than the central nucleus. This grey cloud is very different from the central nucleus. Certain persons see it slightly pink or slightly yellow. We call this cloud the diffuse glow. I have to insist on this phenomenon that doesn't seem much, because we have conducted experiments that show that when the central multicolor nucleus has disappeared, only the diffuse glow remains. There is nothing going on the retina anymore. This diffuse glow comes only from the work of the brain and from an exchange of energy between the two cerebral hemispheres. On a parapsychological point of view, the diffuse glow allows 2/3 of people to perceive a physical object that goes through it like a shadow, even if the subject wears several eye patches over their eyes and they are in a completely dark room. We will later study this phenomenon. So this is a description of the phosphine consecutive to lighting. Because of that, we will call it post-phosphine. When I mention the simple word phosphine, I am referring to the post-phosphine. Phosphenic experiments are more likely to succeed in the dark. You can increase conditions of darkness by closing your eyes. One might think that it is easy to obtain conditions of full darkness, but it is actually quite difficult. There are only a limited number of completely dark rooms in the labs around the world. Close your eyes, but relax them. Pressing on your eyes with your eyelids will create phosphenes by compression. A preliminary experiment. Here are a few observations that have been performed during phosphenic experiments. The first element is remarkable. It is the fact that the phosphine has a tendency to escape. Personally, I've always had trouble stopping it from moving. Another curious thing is the changing of colors, which is different. They change in a really bizarre manner that I cannot control. They are also changing shapes, but they are repetitive. Moreover, I noticed that sometimes the phosphine divides itself into small figures, as if they were trying to extract themselves from the main phosphine. I have also noticed that I am not the master of the phosphine. I do not control it. Let us first talk about the tendency of the phosphine to move. This only takes place in the beginning of training. I would compare what is taking place at that moment to the newborn baby that is looking at his hand to learn to coordinate its eyesight and the sensations that give him the notion of the existence of his body that are called synesthesian or kinesthesian, sensations due to movement. You can do the following experiments in the beginning. Place a book before you on a table. Focus on the lamp. Switch it off. Put on the eye patch. Lower your head. Your phosphine is projected on the book. If at that moment, you touch the book with your hands, you will often have the impression that the phosphine is outside of your hand, rather than between the two. This means that a defect of coordination has taken place between the sense of space that is provided in the dark by eyesight and the synesthesian sensation that provides us the notion of the existence of our body. After a few days of practice, this phenomenon does not occur anymore. You should try to avoid to follow the phosphine with your eyes. Simply, relax your eyes and look in front of you. If the phosphine is moving, it disappears and reappears in front of you. After a few days, it does not move anymore. The rhythmophosphenic function of the brain. The second question is about the repetitive tendency in the phosphenes. It is the reason for which I speak of a rhythmophosphenic function. There is a special function of the brain that has an enormous influence on thoughts, but which starting point is the phosphine. It is the function that generates the rhythms in thoughts. We will see that this rhythmophosphenic function has played a major role in the origin of all religious rites. When one prays while focusing on the sun, for example, which is at the origin of all religions, the associated phosphenes impose their rhythm to thoughts unconsciously. These rhythms generate currents of force in the body, dances, postures. This is why praying while focusing on the sun has been at the origin of all religious rites. This repetitive tendency thus has a great importance, and we will analyze it in details. Let us now study another phenomenon that I've mentioned previously. The alternation of the double phosphenes, a remarkable way to study the favorable or unfavorable action on the brain of a medicine, of a diet, or a physical exercise. If instead of using a lamp, you use two lamps in a box with a hole in front of each lamp and a piece of cardboard between the two lamps that reaches outside of the box and up to your nose, you will produce two phosphenes because you have one lamp in front of each eye, both being separated by the piece of cardboard. I noticed that if one uses a rhythm of 2 seconds of light on the right and 2 seconds of light on the left, for example for a minute, this is the fundamental rhythm of 2 seconds, the consecutive phosphenes do not coexist. Instead, they alternate. A normal subject perceives a phosphine for 8 seconds on one side and for 8 seconds on the other side during 3 minutes on a quite regular rhythm. Certain persons have noticed that they can make the phosphine appear and disappear at will. I agree with this, but all they do is upset the rhythm of the alternation. It is indeed possible to have an action on the phosphine with your own will, but you will not be able to be completely the master of the phosphine. In the end, it is the phosphine that will impose its rhythms if you let go to the phosphine. If you force yourself, all you will manage to do is unbalance a regular and natural rhythm. The succession of colors in the phosphine, a phenomenon that cannot be explained, but which strangeness is hidden by the feeling of obviousness that accompanies phosphenism. The different colors of the phosphine are an essential question. The observation of the phosphenes is prevented by a curious phenomenon. This explains that, though they have been observed since the dawn of humanity, the phosphenes have been hardly studied. Observing the phosphenes is prevented by a phenomenon that I called the feeling of obviousness. What happens to us because of the phosphine seems so obvious that we do not have the idea to describe it or even to notice what is going on. This is one of the most extraordinary facts about the phosphenes. It has eluded everyone who's worked with the phosphenes. This is hardly surprising for me, as it is after 20 years of practice that I suddenly thought, well, this is truly extraordinary. Here is a fact that cannot be understood, but that can be noticed from the first phosphine, and no one before me had asked the question, had thought about it. As far as I know, it is me, after 20 years of experiment, that has asked the question first. The perception of colors is provided by cells in the retina that are called the cones. There are three categories of cones. One kind for the green, one for the red, and one for the blue. However, these three colors can be found in white light, the light of the lamp, for example. In the dark, why don't the three categories of cone work simultaneously to recreate white light straight away? This is a most baffling and extraordinary fact. Because of this feeling of obviousness that prevents the observation of the phosphenes, I believe that no one before me had ever mentioned this fact. For example, as far as I know, it is the German poet Goethe who first talked about the third blue phase of the phosphine in his book entitled Treatise of Colors. Modern physiology should have wondered why the three types of cones do not work together to produce white straight away. It is only at the end of the phosphine that the color white appears. It does so at a moment when nothing is going on anymore in the retina and everything is taking place inside the brain, as I mentioned previously. There is a physiological mystery in this sequence of colors, always taking place in the same order for a normal subject. An important remark regarding phosphenic mixing. It is essential for practicing this exercise to mix together a thought with the phosphine. This could be compared to the chemical process of mixing an acid and a base to produce a salt. Mixing for a lesson of geography. The mode of operation for a lesson of geography is rather simple, because usually there is a map to study in the lesson. The classic way to operate is to study the map in the book, close the book, and then try to picture the map in your mind's eye. The map serves as a point of anchor for other memories that it can conjure up. The only difference with this classic method to study is that during phosphenic mixing, once the book is closed, you should focus on the lamp for roughly 30 seconds, and in order not to waste time, you can start to visualize or recite the lesson while you are focusing on the lamp. The method of phosphenic mixing has the advantage of not wasting time, as all that needs to be done is to add the phosphine to the usual lesson. Once you have focused on the lamp for 30 seconds, you can put the eye patch on and remain in the dark during the 3 minutes of the phosphine. You can then think about your lesson as usual without any more or less mental effort. A normal phosphine lasts approximately 3 minutes. It is the moment when the phosphine is very shiny, very green at the beginning, that it is very useful for memorizing. It is because at that moment, the transfer of energy between the phosphine and the thought can be done very easily. The effects of this experiment are quite varied according to the subject, but nevertheless, all the phenomena that have been produced have been catalogued. The most interesting fact is that, as soon as the first experiments are tried, thought, for a fraction of a second, becomes sharper, denser, clearer. This increased clarity corresponds to a phenomenon that I called phosphenic salt. This name should be understood in a symbolic and philosophical sense. This phosphenic salt is the result of the combination between a thought and the phosphine. It does not matter that this phenomenon only lasts an instant. Certain very important or traumatic events of life only last just a second. Nevertheless, they can have a very important influence on our psychology. We usually remember the images associated with this emotional events with great details. A similar thing is taking place. For just a moment, the thought you are maintaining becomes clearer. Because of this process, it will remain in your memory much longer and with much more details. If it is a map of geography, for example, you will realize that its details come back to your mind easier and that more memories associated to this map come back to your consciousness. There is a dual action on long-term memory through the clarity of the image and an action on the capacity to conjure images through the quantity of memories that come back to your consciousness. For most subjects, this process does not occur during the experiment. It is later, from a few minutes to a few hours, or even after 2 or 3 days, that the subject will think again about what he had conjured during the presence of the phosphine, and the image will come back clearer and denser. Some students I knew tried the following experiment. Every night, they would maintain the same thought during the whole duration of the phosphine for 15 minutes to half an hour, doing several phosphines. They have noticed that during the experiment, their thought did not change. It is only after, when, for example, they were walking under the influence of automatic movements, that suddenly that thought came back to them, clearer, denser, and larger. This is a first step towards producing a vision. Sometimes, during the experiment, the students noticed that a vision suddenly appeared in their consciousness, a vision without any connection with the thought that they were mixing with the phosphine. Though the thought they were working with remained very weak, a sudden vision appeared. This can be compared to what happens when a catalyst is put into a solution. The catalyst does not take part to the reaction, but triggers chemical combinations. A thought placed within the phosphine remains identical, but suddenly produces a combination between the phosphine and the subconscious that generates the vision. This phenomenon is quite rare and does not have much importance. It is a phenomenon that only appears in the beginning of training as a result of the adaptation of the brain. The most important fact is this greater clarity of thought, whether during the exercise, whether after. Working with auditory memory for learning a text by heart, for example. It is not because the phosphine is a visual phenomena, that it is more connected to visual thought. On the contrary, the phosphine can be associated very effectively to auditory thought. The equivalent of the phosphine on the auditory level, that we call acouphene, and that we will study later, can be combined better with visual thought than with auditory thought. So, you will have more result with a poetry, for example, than with a piece of music. Try to represent the sound mentally, as if it came from the inside of the phosphine, from within the phosphine. Or, if you cannot do this, observe the phosphine while practicing your mental recitation. Let us note that for a small number of persons, there is an alternation in the beginning between the thought and the phosphine. The action of phosphenic mixing on attention, intelligence, and the spirit of initiative. When an acid and a base are combined in a chemical reaction, there is a release of energy. Here, it is the same thing. There is the production of a phosphenic salt, a thought that is denser. It is a release of energy, but on a very high cerebral level. This release of energy is translated in several ways. On one hand, there is an increase of the number of associations of ideas. That is to say, the increase of intelligence. On the other hand, one of the more curious effects of phosphenic mixing, and certainly one of the most important, is an increase of the spirit of initiative. All the persons who practice phosphenic mixing take more initiatives than before, and this is one of the main reasons why the persons who practice phosphenic mixing regularly succeed better statistically than the persons who do not practice it. In the beginning, I've asked you to separate the visual mental image and the auditory mental image only to practice a progressive training. Maintaining that one has more of a visual memory or an auditory memory is like wanting to walk only on one foot when someone has 2 feet. This belief is just a habit that is developed in childhood. For instance, a woman brought her child of 9 years of age. He was working well, but she wanted him to work even better. So I told him to learn his lesson before doing the phosphine, and his mother said, "But he can't. He is used to having me reading the lesson for him, so that he learns." This way to practice produced an atrophy of the child's visual memory, as well as an atrophy of his habit for effort. As the phosphine releases a great quantity of energy, this energy spreads through the brain and sets regions in motion, regions of the brain that are not used to work. Consequently, the phosphine will help you making work simultaneously your visual and your auditory memories. For example, let's imagine you are studying a formula of algebra. You can represent it written on the blackboard and thus perform an effort of visual memory. At the same time, you can recite it and thus perform an effort of auditory memory. If you want to study with more details the action of phosphinism on the character, you can choose a person with whom you want to improve your relations. You can represent them in their visual aspect, but mainly in their auditory aspect. Imagine their words. Remember words you have heard them pronounce. Through the memory of words that a person has pronounced, it is easier to create a deep contact with the psyche of that subject, rather than use simply their visual aspect. Once you have performed this dual conjuring of the person, both visual and auditory, you can talk to this person as if you were talking to them through the phosphene. I could quote cases of families where brothers and sisters were always arguing. From the moment when the mother has asked the children to do a session of phosphenic mixing together every evening, peace was back in the house. Phosphenic mixing also has a very interesting action on attention. Attention is much stronger than usual, which helps any intellectual activity. This action on attention has been confirmed by tests conducted in Portugal. It is certainly one of the main effects of phosphenism, as children are often criticized for not having enough attention at school. Most car crashes happen because of a lack of attention. The co-phosphine. We have studied the post-phosphine, that is to say, the phosphine consecutive to lighting. We are now going to study another category of phosphenes. It is the co-phosphine, or phosphine associated to lighting. To obtain it, instead of focusing on the lamp for 30 seconds, focus on it for 3 minutes. While you are focusing, whether for 30 seconds or 3 minutes, you can always wink, but it is better that you do not move your eyes. If focusing on the light for 3 minutes is a little bit uncomfortable, you can close your eyes completely for a little while and then open them again. You will see a sequence of colors during this 3 minutes of focusing, especially if the lamp is set in a good reflector. After about 20 seconds, a pale blue tint will appear inside the reflector and on the lamp. This pale blue tint will last for a minute and a half, and towards the end of this period, pink spots will start to appear in this pale blue. These spots will grow and then join together, and you will have a pale pink color that will last for a minute and a half. This pink usually ends up in a gray tint, though rarely there is a third color, slightly green, between the pale pink and the gray. The persons who have never observed a post-phosphine might think that this grey is an effect of the tiredness of the retina, when it is actually the diffuse glow. The persons who have observed the final phase of the post-phosphine, that we have called the diffuse glow, will notice the similarity of this grey tint. This is very important, as I have told you that this diffuse glow allowed to perceive physical objects through the darkness like a shadow. It is something that is external to the brain, and that shows that when you focus on a strong enough source of light, it is very possible that your brain shines, emits a substance. This is the cofosfine, phosphine associated to lighting. After 3 minutes, when the grey appears, you should switch the lamp off and you will notice that your post-phosphine is exactly the same as before. That is the cofosfine, phosphine associated to lighting. After 3 minutes, when the grey appears, you should switch the lamp off and you will notice that your post-phosphine appears as usual. You will first notice that there is a symmetry in the sequence of colors between the co and the post-phosphine, but also a certain similarity that shows that both phenomena belong to the phosphines. The similarities is that both phenomena start with a white period and end with a grey period. Also, between these two extremes, there are three colours. The first two last a minute and a half each, but you will notice that the cofosfine, or phosphine associated to lighting, starts with the colour blue, when it is this very colour that ends the postphosphine consecutive to lighting. Also, it is the color green that starts the postphosphine, and I told you that if there is a third color in the cofosphine before the gray, though it is rare, it is generally a little bit of green. Apart from this symmetry, the pink or red is always in the middle. The two phenomena are similar. The postphosphine, or phosphine consecutive to lighting, after 3 minutes of focusing, does not last any longer, nor it is shinier, brighter, or larger than the phosphine that is obtained with 30 seconds of focusing. The best amount of light. The phosphine is governed by a law that is called the law of the all or nothing. It is a law that you can find in the mineral world as well as in the organic world. In the mineral kingdom, let us imagine a clay pot full of water. If you hit this clay pot with a hammer, gently, the pot will not break. But if you hit it very hard, the pot will break and the water will flow. Nevertheless, if you hit the pot 4 times harder, you will not release 4 times more water. This fact can also be found in physics. For example, if you hurl a neutron against an atomic nucleus, there are two possibilities: whether the neutron has the necessary energy to break the nucleus, whether it does not have it. But if it breaks the nucleus, it is always the same quantity of energy that is liberated. It is surprising to find this law in biology. For example, if you send a very weak electric current on a heart, nothing happens. If you progressively increase the strength of the current, nothing happens until you reach a certain threshold where contraction is complete and normal. If you increase the strength of the current, the heart does not contract itself even more. But if the dose is increased until it reaches a certain threshold, secondary sexual characters are developed as if by normal. If you provide them 100 times more hormones, they will not develop a crest that is 100 times bigger. On the contrary, as it is logical, the chicken will be poisoned. The phosphine thus obeys a general law that governs the mineral kingdom as well as the organic kingdom, the law of all or nothing. This is very important, as if you use the sun to practice phosphinic experiments, you will have no danger and will not harm your eyes as long as you have understood that what is useful in these experiments is the mixing between a thought and the phosphine. The phosphine being governed by the law of all or nothing, you should use a rule of thumb of a maximum of phosphine for a minimum of light. You will notice that an average light, not too strong, but strong enough to have a normal phosphine, is the best suited. Consequently, you will not tire your eyes and you will have the same efficiency than with a very strong light. Practicing phosphenic mixing with the sun. Guidelines to follow. There is no danger in using the sun to do phosphenes if you respect all the guidelines that I am going to provide. First, let us eliminate certain pathological cases. One must eliminate the cases of glaucoma, that is to say, the hypertension of the fluids of the eye. If a person has a glaucoma and does not know about it and practices phosphenism, that person will notice it, because after the session, that person will experience a pain in the back of their eye. Nevertheless, do not be alarmed if your eyes redden a little bit during the first sessions or if you feel a little stingy sensations in your eyes. This is different. You should not be alarmed by these symptoms. They are due to the fact that you haven't winked enough. The conjunctiva dries and it becomes red for certain people. It is absolutely not serious, and within 2 or 3 days, the eyes do not react like this anymore to the practice of phosphenic mixing with a lamp. On the other hand, if the pain is located in the back of the eye, it is very likely a case of glaucoma. Certain persons have discovered they had a glaucoma thanks to practicing sessions of phosphenism. Before practicing a session with the sun or a strong light, you should drink a lot of water on an empty stomach. It is a bit like going sunbathing. One should drink a lot so that there is an adequate evaporation. You should drink before performing the exercises of focusing on the sun, especially if you are going outside for a whole afternoon, because once you have started this practice, it is so pleasant that one has a tendency to practice it more and more. You should take a soft drink and a still drink rather than a fizzy drink, because even the carbon gas modifies the vasomotricity of the capillaries. Naturally, it is safe to practice a few experiences, for example while you are going to work or while you are in the street. But to practice a long session, you should respect this guideline. Also, one must absolutely take their glasses off before focusing on the sun, as glasses would have a magnifying glass effect and would instantly burn the eye if you focused on the sun with glasses on. That is why one must always take their glasses or contact lenses off before practicing phosphenism. This is why I ask persons always to take their glasses off to practice phosphenism, even with a lamp, so that they develop the habit of taking their glasses or contacts off every time they practice with the lamp or with the sun. You should focus on the sun for periods of 2 to 3 seconds only, but you have to prepare your thought before. We will come back on this point, associating focusing on the sun with a work of thought. Also, let us say that it is better to start training, for example, for 1 or 2 months with a lamp and then use a light sun in the morning or in the evening. This succession of powerful lights followed by conditions of darkness obtained by putting, for instance, your hands in front of your eyes after focusing on the sun provokes a chemical exercise of the retina, which accelerates the circulation of blood in this organ. This explains why, for most people, there is an improvement of eyesight of approximately 1 degree after 1 month of practice of phosphenic mixing. This improvement remains. Particularities of the solar co- and post-phosphine. We shall first talk about the solar post-phosphine, the phosphine consecutive to focusing on the sun, then about the solar co-phosphine, which accompanies focusing, and then about mixing a thought with focusing on the sun. The solar post-phosphine is often considered less pretty as the post-phosphine obtained with a lamp. It is usually much smaller and seems all broken. It is more blue and less shiny. Why is that so? It is smaller because it is proportional to the angular diameter of the source. It is apparently irregular in shape. Many people consider it broken. You can try the following experiment. Instead of focusing on the lamp with your eyes fixed, try moving your eyes up and down and then left to right so that your eyes follow the shape of a cross. If you move your eyes quickly to look at the sun, and if you haven't closed your eyes already, your phosphine will acquire the shape of this movement. If you keep on moving your eyes while focusing at the sun, then the phosphine will be completely irregular. The phosphine done with the sun is more blue and less bright than with a lamp. Why is that so? We have seen the law of all or nothing, and it is precisely because the light of the sun, even during 2 seconds, is so strong that the post-phosphine appears less bright. Even though the post-phosphine produced with the sun is irregular and less bright, you can still mix a thought with this phosphine. You can switch between periods of focusing of 2 to 3 seconds and then observations of the post-phosphine during 2 to 3 minutes. And then you can focus on the sun again for 2 to 3 seconds. Let us talk about the solar co-phosphines. It is impossible to focus on the sun without producing the associated co-phosphines. Though these co-phosphines are not as obvious as the ones produced by the lamp. Focusing on the sun for short but frequent periods of time with an associated thought. You might have conducted the following experiment accidentally. Focus on the very weak sun this time, maybe in a misty sky or at sunrise or sunset. When you close your eyes, you have the impression that you see the sun during 1 to 2 seconds after having closed your eyes. This is not due to retinal persistency, as it only lasts between 1/16th to 1/24th of a second according to the subject. It is actually a post-phosphine that looks so much like the sun that you believe this phosphine is the sun. So, when you focus on the sun, you always have the associated phosphines that a precise analysis can illustrate. This explains why it is advantageous to prepare your thought in advance and to repeat it while focusing on the sun during 2 to 3 seconds. Then you can turn your head, close your eyes, put your hands in front of your eyes if you want to create better conditions of darkness, and keep repeating the thought during the presence of the post-phosphine. When the post-phosphine has disappeared, you can start the process again. Practiced this way, associating a thought to focusing on the sun does not tire your eyes. On the contrary, it will strengthen them, on the condition to practice progressively. If you practice this exercise using, for example, a theme of meditation, of reflection, during a session of 3/4 of an hour, or if during a stroll in the countryside on a Sunday, you spend enough time practicing this exercise, you will then have the sensation that your thought has acquired a strength, a density that is nothing but extraordinary. You have the impression that it is like a substance that is external to the brain. You feel a certain heat within your thought, vibrations, things that need to be experienced to understand, short-circuiting the chlorophyllian function. I believe that the energy of light is transformed into mental energy. It is the goal of all these experiments of phosphenic mixing. What is the role of the phosphine in this transformation? The usual process consists in light being captured by plants through their chlorophyllian function. The energy of light is transformed into oxygen that we breathe, carbon that we eat, and it is the combination of the two within ourselves that releases all the necessary energies for the functioning of our organism. This includes the energy necessary for the brain on a physiological level. So, what could be the use of thinking while focusing on the sun? This practice short-circuits the chlorophyllian function. You have to try the experiment to realize this. The transformation of the energy of light into mental energy is absolutely fantastic. The phosphine appears as an intermediary level between thought and the energy of light, a level of transformation. This can be compared to the energy that is produced by a hydroelectric dam. The energy that comes out of the dam is usually around 1 million volts. When it arrives to your house, it is 110. There has to be a level of transformation. The role of the phosphine is to be the intermediary level that allows the transformation of the energy of light into mental energy. Our purpose being the transformation of the energy of light into mental energy, there is no need to look at the sun, to focus on the sun for very long periods of time. Once the maximum amount of energy has been captured from light, there is no possibility to get any more. It is thus during the very first moments of focusing that the exchange of energy is at its highest. That's why it is very useful and recommended to choose your thoughts before focusing on the sun. Warning signs of excessive use. Those among you who already have practiced with the phosphines have noticed that there is a sort of perpetual action within the phosphines. Points that are moving, dots, whether clear or dark. But if you see three or four dots that form a kind of fixed constellation, and whether these dots are dark or shiny, and if these dots remain during several successive phosphines, this is a sign of warning. You should stop practicing with the sun for a few days, and these symptoms always disappear. If fixed points remain in your field of vision, it means that there is a minor degree of burn on the retina. It is only very minor, and it disappears after 2 or 3 days of rest. I met a young man who, not really knowing why, focused on the sun for about 20 minutes. For 2 years, he had a dark spot in his field of vision. Nevertheless, after 2 years, this spot disappeared. If you have slightly exaggerated with the sun, the symptoms will disappear within 2 or 3 days. Of course, to avoid accidents, one can always practice with the lamp. On an educational level, it is preferable to work with the lamp. First, because the sun might not appear, and so if it's raining, you might fail your exam. Then, because the post-phosphine produced by the lamp reacts mainly on memory, understanding, and all the faculties that are necessary in school. On the other hand, it is advantageous, when one wants to use the co-phosphine, to practice with the sun. It seems that the co-phosphine obtained with a lamp is not as pleasant, maybe for the following reason. Alternative current is composed of 50 pulses per second. Practicing with the sun produces a much more pleasant sensation. Maybe it is due to the fact that natural light is more connected with spiritual development, mysticism, and the study of religious phenomena. If your research goes along these lines, then it is preferable to work with the sun. Nevertheless, there is no golden rule. One should adapt to circumstances.